35, 40-minute drive to our meeting. There were two accidents on the highway, and so we kind of wondered whether we'd be able to get here or not today. So the Lord's goodness, we are here. Anyhow, if you have a Bible, I'm delighted to be with you this morning. If you have a Bible, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 2, please. The book of Hebrews chapter 2. Some of you know my testimony, at least parts of my testimony. And I just want to make an adjustment here. Okay. And a lot of that testimony I'm not proud of at all. It's something that I think the Apostle Paul would say. Some of these things, it's a shame to speak of them. And so I don't want to be too graphic or too detailed about my life before the Lord Jesus saved me. But I just want to tell you this part because I think it'll give me a fitting introduction for my message. A couple of years, or maybe even more, before the Lord saved me, I was going to say I made a living. I didn't make a living. I existed, let's put it that way. And I did that by a lot of gambling and a lot of playing billiards or a pool, as we would call it, and pool halls, different pool halls and different bars in the Los Angeles area, Los Angeles, California. And then the Lord delivered me from that. I'm so happy. I'm so glad to be delivered from that atmosphere and from that lifestyle. But I tell you this only that many years later, I was in West Virginia, and I was at a Christian camp in West Virginia. And in the rec room or lobby or part of that camp where people gathered, they had a pool table. Now, there's nothing inherently wrong with a pool table. I think you understand where I'm coming from here. It's just what happens around the table or what you do with the table and stuff like that. So anyhow, somebody said to me, he said, "Brother Joe, you used to be a pool shooter, didn't you?" And I said, "Well, yeah, I did." And he said, "Where are you good?" And I said, "Well, anyhow, so somebody said, why don't you show us? Like, why don't you shoot a few balls or show us something?" And so here I am at a Christian camp, picking up a pool cue for I don't know how many times I would have done that since I'd been saved. It was quite a few years later. So I picked up the pool cue, and there were balls on the table. If you know anything at all about the game, you use a white ball and you knock other balls into the pockets, and that's kind of the way that goes. And do you know that I really embarrassed myself? And what I mean by that was, I could hardly do it anymore. Well, I could do it a little bit, but I mean, when you were living the lifestyle that I was living, if you only did it a little bit, you didn't make a living. You got beat. You lost all of your money or whatever. And so, what's my point? Why am I telling you this? Is because even in a stupid lifestyle of playing this game and gambling, do you know what I had to do every day? I had to practice. You say, "Well, you learned to shoot pool. Why'd you have to practice?" Because, like many things, if not most things in life, if you don't practice, you lose the skill that you have developed. And of course, once I got saved, I didn't live in a pool hall anymore, and I never practiced anymore. Not that I think there's anything wrong necessarily with the game, but it's just not where I wanted to hang out. It's not the kind of lifestyle that I wanted to live. And consequently, my skills went down. I think you get the point. And I don't know if anybody at that camp really believed that I used to be a good pool shooter, because I certainly didn't display that that day around that pool table. Now, take your Bibles, and we're going to turn to Hebrews chapter 2, and I'm just going to read one verse for now. Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 1. So you watch your Bible. Therefore, we must, I'm reading from the New King James, okay? Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest we drift away. That's New King James. Let me read the Old King James, the one that many of us grew up on. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, the King James Version says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Just a little different. We read in the New King James, lest we drift away, O King James, lest we let them slip. Now I'm going to read from the New American Standard, just one other translation. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. For this reason, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. What I want to challenge you with this morning is that the Bible often gives us warning passages, passages like take heed or be careful or something like that. The warning passage here we should take very seriously. It says we ought to give the more earnest heed. That means be careful how you hear. You remember the parable of the sower? One heard and another heard and another heard. Be careful how you hear, because the ear gate allows things into your mind and into your heart. So you must vet these things. You must distinguish these things. You must be careful and pay close attention, deep concern, with reverence and appreciation to the things that have happened in chapter 1 in the book of Hebrews. All about the Lord Jesus, about how he's better, and how that there's no one to compare to him, and all the great truths that we learn from that. We must give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard in this context about the superiority of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The warning then is, notice again in your verse, lest at any time, we give the more heed to the things we have heard. The old King James says, lest at any time we should let them slip. Do you know the devil takes no days off? He is relentless in trying. He couldn't keep you from trusting Christ. Thank God. God gave us a free will. We hear the gospel. The Spirit of God works in our heart, brings us to the finish line, and holds our hand and says, now just step over, for by grace are you saved through faith, and trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior and leads us across the finish line of salvation, and we trust the Lord. The devil cannot keep us from doing that. He tries, but he cannot keep us from doing that. Once you trust the Lord Jesus, the next thing he wants to stop you from doing is serving him, loving him, living for him, walking with him, being an example for him, being a witness for him. He doesn't want you to do those things. And so thus the warning here is, let us pay close attention to what we've learned. And you folks there, you've learned a lot about the Lord Jesus. You've had good Bible teachers and preachers and gospel preachers and evangelists and testimonies and missionaries, and you have heard a lot about the Lord Jesus, and you have learned a lot about the Lord Jesus. The warning is you must continue. I think it's in John chapter 8, the Lord Jesus said, my disciples are those who continue in my word. And so the warning here is we have to be really, really careful about what we know and what we've learned and how we understand that, lest at any time we should let them slip. Any time. It can happen to you sitting right there, right now. You can isolate your mind right where you're sitting. Did you know that? You can have a party all by yourself. Everybody thinks you're listening to the message. You've turned the message off. You've turned your mind on. Your mind is wandering. The devil is trying to tempt you, wants you to think of something else that's not important or something that's detrimental to you. I want you to turn your phone on to see something or watch something else. Like, it's amazing. You can, all that could happen to you right in the pew, right where you're sitting. Could happen to you right now. Lest at any time you could let this slip. Let what slip? The teaching, the doctrine, the experience, the lifestyle, the way in which you have grown, the things that you know about the Lord Jesus. It is kind of interesting that the Greek word in the King James Version, of course, translated from a manuscript, and the Greek word in that manuscript, let them slip, comes from a word that means run out as a leaking vessel. Let's usually let them slip. Then the other translations were lest you drift away. So here we are right here, and we have a knowledge of the Lord. We've learned some things. We're Christians. We're walking with the Lord. We're growing, okay? But we got to be very careful that we don't rest on the oars. If you quit paddling, guess which way you go in the river? Downstream, okay? When the Lord Jesus talked about the enemy coming and sowing weeds or tares in the wheat field. He told that parable in Matthew 13, I believe. And if you read that parable, guess what the servants were doing when the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat? They were sleeping. They weren't aware. They weren't on guard. They weren't paying attention. They slacked off. You can't do that. You're not going to remain neutral. You will go downstream. You will go backward. You will drift away. I learned that. I was on several camping trips, you know, and at night when you come in and you're on a river or on a lake or something, you know what you have to do with the boat? You got to anchor the boat. You got to tie it up. You got to take care of that boat. You know why? Because when you wake up in the morning, that boat will be on the other side of the lake. And it's 10 miles around the lake. And there's ice around the edge. And you don't want to get in that water and swim over there to that boat. So what do? You tie the boat up. You take precautions. You pay close attention to what you're doing. So it doesn't drift. Reference now to my knowledge, my experience. Do you know that You got people, and I got people too, that were once strong Christians, serving the Lord, doing all kind of things that we would applaud and say, wonderful. And you know, today, I don't know where they are. They've drifted away. The truth that was in them has leaked out, as the old King James would suggest, a leaky vessel. One thing I know about a leaky vessel, you leave it long enough, and all the content in that vessel will leak out. Oh, it'll be slow, just a little drip here and there, but it will eventually leak out. It will be gone. Okay, so this is the warning. We could put it like this: no tree suddenly falls. No student suddenly fails. No marriage suddenly dissolves. It's like erosion. It's like drifting. The boat is so quietly, without waves or wind, it just drifts on the water away. Our lives can be like that. Your life can be like that. You might say to me, well, I know I'm not reading as much as I should. I'm not studying as much. I don't go to as many meetings as I should. I probably don't pray as much as I should. Well, yeah, pay close attention. You know that. You know whether you're doing. What are you doing about it? Because I can tell you, if you do nothing about it, you will drift. If you do nothing about it, the experiences and the knowledge will slip away. Now, we often talk about God having a plan for your life. Well, let me tell you something. The devil has one too. He's got a plan for your life. Let me give you a few things you might consider. The devil wants to occupy us with the things of the world, so that our understanding of the things of the Lord will become vague or hard to remember. Listen, we live in the world, we work in the world. I got it. You go to school in the world, I got it. You interact with family and friends that are not Christians, I got it. But we are not to let that or use that as an excuse for us drifting away. The Lord Jesus and all of his disciples lived in the world. We saw what happened to some of his disciples when they slacked off, when they weren't careful, when they, you know, that things happen. And you got to be careful. The devil wants you to forget who the Savior is. He wants you to forget you've been saved from your old sins. He wants you to forget how much he's done in your life. He doesn't want you to share that with anybody. Just be quiet. They won't understand. They don't get it. Just wait. Don't say anything. He wants you to quit trying to remember Bible verses. And I know the older we get, the shorter our memory is. And I got it, okay? But the Word of God, we need to hide in our heart. Why? So we won't sin, so we won't drift, so what we have in us doesn't drip out like a leaking vessel. We can maintain it. He wants us to become lazy. He wants us to forget how important it is for us to have a daily routine. It's just like after a few years, in my head, I knew how to shoot the game of pool. I knew how to hit the cue ball. In my head, I knew what kind of spin to put on things, and I knew the angle. But I couldn't do it. Why? I was out of practice. And you've got a foundation in your head, but if you don't practice this every day, it's going to drift. You're going to drift. So the scriptures put it like this. If you're taking notes, you could write this down. James chapter 1 and verse 22. I'll read from there. James chapter 1, and I'll start reading in verse 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. James 1 and 22. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. So this is one way for us to keep ourselves from drifting. It's one way for us to keep the truth of God's word from dripping out of our lives, is to not just hear something, not just read something, but to do something. Now here's the point in that verse. If you only hear the word and you don't practice the word, you don't do the word, listen to this, you deceive yourself. You can deceive yourself right now. Say, oh, I went to the meeting this morning. Great, isn't that nice? Yeah, it was very nice, yeah. Who was speaking? Oh, I don't know, some guy said something about doing something, and I don't know, yeah. But here's the point, pay close attention. What does the word say? Not because of me, not because I said, this is the scriptures. James says, if you just hear it and you don't do it, you're going to deceive yourself, and you're going to deceive yourself this way. You're going to think that there's some great advantage by just hearing something, but there's no evidence in my life and no practice in my life. You'll say, oh, I'm a good guy. I can quote a certain passage, or I can win in an argument. But are you living it out? Are you doing it? Are you actually reading your Bible? Are you actually praying? Are you actually witnessing? Are you actually living for the Lord Jesus? He goes on to say in verse 23, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. He observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. That'd be like you getting up this morning and going to the washroom. You look in the mirror and you go, oh my goodness, Joe, you need to shave, you need to comb your hair, you need to wash your face, you need to brush your teeth, you need to, and you just take a good look and then you go, oh well, and I didn't do anything. I didn't wash my face, I didn't brush my teeth, I didn't comb my hair. I tell you what, I wouldn't be looking like I am right now. I looked in the mirror and I said, Joe, you need a complete makeover here, buddy. You need some help. And so what did I do? I washed and I brushed and I combed and I did some things. Think about this. I'm reading the word of God, but I don't, and I look in the mirror and I go, yeah, I got it. I need to do that, but I don't do it. He said, there's no use. It's like looking in the mirror and saying, see you tonight, buddy. Okay, I'm sorry, I'm not going to brush my teeth or comb my hair. I'm off. I'm busy. I got to go. And I don't do it. It does me no good. He goes on to say, if you treat the Bible like that, it's going to do you no good. You can't just say, I heard it. I went to a meeting. I read a chapter this morning, but I don't do anything. Go back to Hebrews chapter 5, please. Book of Hebrews, chapter number 5. Hebrews 5. And look at verse 12. Verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone else to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only in milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by, this is, you need to underline this in your mind, maybe in your book, reason of use, you ought to mark that. Reason of use, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. If I don't pay close attention, if I don't do the word of God, the work of God, if I just hear it only, I deceive myself. I think I'm some person I'm not really. And I end up like these people. I'm old enough in Christ that I ought to be teaching others. I can't teach anybody else. I'm always asking somebody else, oh, what do you think about that? What do you think I should do about that? You know? And the secret here in this text, in this context, is when you understand a Bible truth, you're ready, do it. Practice it. This is what God wants you to do. Don't ignore it. Don't say, yeah, it's a great truth, or something. He's saying here, who by reason of use, we have a little saying in English, it goes like this, you use it or you lose it. Spiritually, that will happen. You'll have great truths and you'll get them and you'll write them down and maybe for a while you practice them. Then you get lazy or you get distracted or something happens and the next thing you know is not quite as clear as it was before. And you got to go back and you got to start over. Wasted years. You got to be careful. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6 quickly. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and I'm going to read in verse 21. Matthew 6 and 21. The Lord Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? The principle here is one that's relatively simple. If you know a Bible truth, and you know it's right, and you know it's God's way, but you don't practice that truth becomes dim, foggy. Not very clear. Last week I had cataract surgery on this eye. And they put a new lens in and everything's supposed to be great. Well, it wasn't quite as great as I'd hoped for. And it's getting better now, but I can tell you something. This eye was dark for a few days. Not completely dark. I didn't go blind or anything, but it was dim. It wasn't clear. And that's just the eye. It says, if your eye is good, great. If your eye is not good, not great. Spiritually speaking, if your spiritual vision is good, you're walking with the Lord. You're walking in the light. If you don't practice what you know to be true, the truth becomes dark. The truth becomes dim. We got not just hear it, we got to do it. We've had enough time and we haven't taken advantage of the time and it becomes dim in it. And the warning is how great is that darkness? Here's a believer who won't practice a truth that they know to be true, and now they lose the ability to discern that truth. That's not good. You lose the ability to discern. And the light that used to be in you, giving light to your feet and a lamp to your path, and you're walking in the word was great. Now it's dim and it's dark. And you're stumbling. You gotta be careful. One last one, John chapter 13. John's Gospel, chapter 13. You know the passage well. Night before the crucifixion, The Last Supper, the Lord's with his disciples. He's washing the disciples' feet, okay? And I just want to point out, beginning, let me just read verse 17 for time. Our time is gone. Verse 17, Jesus said, "If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." He gave him a great example of servantship, of serving others, of humility. It was a great example, a wonderful example. And let me suggest that he says, just knowing it is not enough. Do you get that? If you know these things, that's wonderful. But blessed are you if you do them. Everything I'm telling you this morning is this. We can be aware we have a problem. We can be aware things are slipping. We can be aware things are getting dim. We can be aware that things are not what they used to be. But do something about it, folks. Don't let it slip. Don't drift away. Repent. Change your mind. Confess to God. So I don't want to live like this the rest of my life. I'm just going to drift away and drift away. And if I let that boat that I didn't tie up the night before, if I don't take care of that, it's going to be on the other side of the lake by morning. Where are you spiritually? The answer is give the more earnest heed to the things which you have heard, lest at any time you should let them slip or drift away. Let's pray. Lord, touch us where we need to be touched. Please help us in our struggles. And may we come to you and realize the answer is just admitting where we are and not wanting to stay there, but say, I'm going back. I'm going back and read my Bible. I'm going to witness more. I'm going to the meeting more. I'm going to pray more. And by the grace of God and the Spirit of God, I'm not going to drift. And I'm not going to let the truth slip away. In Jesus' name.